Trusted Voices is a Cognizant podcast series that aims to showcase the diversity of thoughts, backgrounds, and identity of our 350,000 associates all over the world. Trusted Disruptors is a special mini-series where we ask associates to reflect specifically on what it takes to build trust in the age of AI. Our focus will be on sustainability, transparency, data security, healthcare, global workforce, and more. The dialogue illustrates how we're building trust, especially when we show up diverse.
Welcome to part two of our Trusted Voices podcast focused on climate and nature. As concerns about the environment and ethical practices grow, companies that prioritize sustainable solutions are viewed as more trustworthy. You've listened to the part where our experts discuss the role of AI in climate change and the carbon footprint of AI solutions. In this part, they discuss AI and change management and what it means to be trusted disruptors in the era of AI.
So it's interesting, when we talk about AI and when you're talking about all these different aspects about what it might do, how we'll measure it, et cetera, we're not really just talking about technology, we're talking about people. And we're actually talking about a lot of change management, I think, where organizations are going to have to work very differently, and they're going to have a level of trust, I think, in their partners that may be much different than, you know, the types of things we've built in the past, where there's been a much greater understanding of what it is, how it works, how you use it. So I'm curious to hear, you know, how do we as disruptors, I mean, that's what we do, you know, we digitally disrupt, obviously, for a good end, but we are disrupting. How do we disrupt these businesses in a way that doesn't also disrupt trust? How do we actually build trust as we create these new opportunities for businesses to be more mindful of their environmental impact and hopefully ultimately be doing things that are actually good for the planet in the long run?
Speaking to a lot of clients these days about AI and changing, it's changing the way they operate their business and by extension, of course, their people. Number one topic actually from a leadership angle coming aboard is they want to avoid this black boxing. They don't just want to put something into a box and then get out something on the other end. And seeing this up close in aquaculture and other places mm-hmm. where they're actually utilizing AI on a daily basis and in the core production, a person doesn't trust the machine. It takes quite a lot of time and interaction before they lean off and say, okay, this task, the machine actually does better than me. Mm-hmm. And this task, I will trust it to aid me with. Mm-hmm. So it's a very human thing to do, and that's where Gen AI is kind of helping us a lot now, because we can, in a very human way, interact with it. That wasn't possible before. It was UI and all of that stuff, but we weren't able to talk to it and feel very humanized around it and use our own words and our own languages. This is technology finally wrapping around humans, and rather than us having to change to technology, I would argue. We're still very early, but that's what it might be. And then such, I think what we are doing is basically taking the time of the client, building a process around that for their specific use case. But at the same time, a lot of in-house people also want to partake in setting this up, building this. So co-partnering with the clients, creating their future, I think is key for the trust part. They need to understand what the recipe was, so they can also trust outcome.
Right.
So I might just add a couple of thoughts. I was thinking about this earlier today. I had this super, super cool client many years ago who once said to me, and it sounded much better in Dutch in the original. It's an old Dutch proverb, I understand. It says something like, trust walks in on foot but rushes out on a horse. I wish I could do it in Dutch. But I mean, clearly the phrase speaks for itself. But you've talked to some degree, I think, a little bit about openness, and the whole sort of open this and open that is something which has pervaded the IT industry for as long as I've been involved with it, which is now sort of 20 years or so. So this isn't anything new to this industry, which is fantastic. Now, why is it all the more critical right now? Because, as I said before, and Steve Martin's very tolerant of some of the things I've said to him before, you know, these issues are too complex. They're too large and they're too costly for any one organization to grapple with alone. So at the very heart of these challenges is a predisposition towards collaboration, or rather should be a predisposition towards collaboration, which of course is where trust is so critical, which is why that phrase I think is so important. But you know, does the advent of AI bring with it, you know, higher levels of trust, different issues around trust? I think it probably does. I think there are some very specific issues with regard to AI and trust, and particularly with regard to generative AI. And we shouldn't forget that Gen AI is only one of a stable of AI horses, if you like. It could stay there by horses theme. But for me, the whole attraction to AI is that it enables far greater scrutiny and organization of massive data sets that should give us, guess what? Better transparency. That should enable data to provide greater trust. So the very thing that we're calling out as a risk to trust is potentially the thing that should be the solution to it as well. Steve Martin is much more well versed in these things than I am. But my rather naive belief is that, you know, increasing level of understanding of the potential, the growth in public interest, and yes, concern around AI, the likelihood of higher levels of governance and regulation around it, and the continual need for us all to protect our brands. When all these things come together, they combine in a way to ensure that we can use AI without eroding stakeholder trust. That's my naive belief. Steve Martin is nodding for the mic, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
If we take part and allow this to sink in and be something that employees and everyone actually can partake in, then we're, as humans, feeling much more in control. And I think it's a lot about control, not just a magic box that spits out something in the other end. Now, Gen AI specifically has the ability to create that transparency, but of course, it also depends on where it got information from, right? We know all know about biases. All we know about biases and all of that stuff. So I think. I mean, we still have quite a task ahead of us for people to be critical about that and understanding, okay, so why did it make that decision? Why is it telling me this? And even ask it that, because that's something you actually can do now. Mm-hmm. But still, remain critical. And I think we should up the game around critical thinking around this. And I more often than not use this term of reverse engineering, which is, we got to this. How did we get to there? Mm-hmm. Break that down. And that way of thinking, I think it could be very useful around AI and processes and automation.
Is it possible we don't know how we got to the answer? Is it possible, even if we didn't know, to reverse engineer it so we establish what that route actually was?
Yes, to a certain extent, I think that's quite possible in the most instances, yes. But we shouldn't forget that some of this is basically statistics. It's not really something that's informed in the same way as we call wisdom.
Yeah. Right.
So, we need to have that balance of being a bit critical when we meet these things, right?
Yeah. It's interesting because some of the themes that you're bringing up when you're talking about how we build trust, things like transparency, things like collaboration, that's how you build trust in any relationship, yes. Right? With a person, with your spouse, with your friend, with your boss. And so in some ways, I think one of the ultimate wins for us as a society is if we are able to look at AI as a collaborator with us, so that we do have a relationship with it that ultimately does engender that trust that we know is so critical.
I think that is dependent on a level of understanding and awareness that most of us don't have. I
mean, that's right.
He does. I don't.
Yep.
So I think without that, with a level of ignorance comes a level of fear.
Yep.
And that will probably limit the desire for people to get involved, or leave it to other people, or they'll just say, I don't understand it. And I think that worries me, because I think not only does it allow these sort of narratives around fear to permeate, but it also probably limits our ability to use the tool in its best possible way.
It's a little bit like kids today that have been doing gaming, video games, and they actually think they understand how computer works based on that.
Yeah, well said.
That's a dangerous notion, right? I think now I can go have a job in Cognizant or in Microsoft or Google because I've been a gamer. Mm-hmm. Well, no, you use the tool. Do you know how the tool actually works? Mm-hmm. Do you know what the idea behind the tool and the thought process when it was created? That's quite a different way of doing things. So I think we really need to double down on that way of thinking around things, and it will take away the fear. Yeah. And it will open up our minds a bit to what's possible as well.
I was thinking about this kind of central question, though. the relationship that you were striking between trust and, you know, advancing these challenges around, or the solutions to these challenges around sustainability. And I was thinking about, I'm not going to go into any great length, I was thinking about two or three sort of indicators that, you know, frankly, ESG is a little bit on the back foot right now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this is related to trust. We've seen the most enormous amount of volatility in ESG, capital markets and funds around ESG. And there's, we can track that back to policymaker challenges. We see, you know, the rise and rise of issues around greenwashing. Now, frankly, part of that for me, and this may sound rather peculiar, I think this is good because it demonstrates a level of scrutiny and a level of awareness and a level of critical thinking, to use Steve Martin's word, which I think we should be really proud of because it's going to prevent us from making stupid errors. We've seen, I mean, one case in point, and I won't quote the very, very well-known financial services organization, but its chief investment officer for ESG, it's very well known, resigned. And the reason that he resigned was because he was saying essentially all we've done is to issue green rhetoric and optimism, and that's crowded capital in. And guess what? That's risen the value of those funds. But there's no intrinsic relationship between the value of those funds and the impact of those funds.
That's right.
Nor the measurable or material impact of those funds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the impact they've had on social and environmental issues. And I won't go into the details now, but there's some amazing statistics around the level of ESG risk incidents related to misleading communications. Okay, so all of that having been said, and thinking about my Dutchman and his funny phrase, what I'm really heartened by, ironically, is that there's something bucking the trend here. And it goes contrary to that phrase, because what we're seeing, and we surveyed 3,000 global leaders across various sectors. And so I think statistically, it's a pretty sound sample. And what they told us is that 50% of them said that they expect to increase sustainability budgets by more than 10% year on year between now and 2025. And this rises to 63% when we look between 2025 and 2030. So despite the worries around the relationship between trust and sustainability, they're doubling down that investment. And I think the answer is very clear, and it isn't related to trust, it's related to the business case, because two-thirds of them, and again, Steve Martin has heard me use these numbers before, two-thirds of them expect to derive either a positive or a very positive return from those investments. So at the end of the day, the business case will speak loudest.
Isn't it just as simple as sustainability breeds resilience in business?
Mm.
That is the core of the business case. Whether you like or not that there are climate changes and all that, you still need to be resilient. Mm. So that's the core of economics to me, and the whole mechanism. And I hope we can tie all of this to that, making a real change.
This was such a fantastic conversation. I can't thank you both enough for being on the podcast. It's been such a pleasure. Sitting and listening to speak about this. Thank you both.